Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we go through slowly and methodically and bring to light lots of things that you hadn't been taught in church just because you got to seriously study this book to find them. Single words can make entire passages change their meanings. God says there are mysteries in this book, and it does his heart good that you seek them out. We are in the book of 1 Kings. We've come from Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, in Jeremiah, believe it or not, where there was another age of mankind, and God flooded the earth and put the sun out. Yeah, it's all there in black and white. And then eons passed by, and you turn to Genesis, and he lights it up again, just like he said he would in Jeremiah. There are two accounts of the creation of mankind. On the sixth day, he creates male and female, says, replenish the earth. And then he rests on the seventh day, and then some time passes, we don't know how long. And he says, there's no man to till my garden. The Garden of Eden, which Jeremiah said was a wilderness now because it flooded the earth. He needed a priest. So he created Adam. Created him male and female and called their name Adam. And later brought Eve out of Adam. A priest that was never meant to procreate. The other two had already gone out into the world and were procreating. You know, your pastor ever tried to explain where Cain got his wife from? I mean, he was the firstborn. Hadn't been there that long. Oh, well, Adam and Eve had other daughters. But no, because when he passes judgment on Cain, he said, this is too much for me to bear. Anywhere I go, everyone will want to kill me. There was already tens of thousands of people in the world.
Who's everyone?
Yes, who's everyone? Oh, your three or four brothers or sisters? Yeah. And Cain goes out and builds a city.
Right, for everyone.
It's all here in black and white. The two babies in Eve's womb, two different fathers, believe it or not. I wouldn't say it if I couldn't back it up. So many mysteries in this Bible. And the greatest one is the first covenant. It was not the Ten Commandments and the Levitical law. God said to Abraham, I give you a covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. It's that easy. And had his children been able to follow that, that's what it would have remained. But they couldn't, and God laid the law on them to show them that the liberty they have by following him is much better than the bondage they have under the law. And Jesus Christ came back and fulfilled the law because no other person could, because it was impossible. It was purposely made that way. If you were not of a perfect bloodline and divine spirit like Adam was when he first came here, you could not. Jesus Christ fulfilled it and reestablished the first covenant, which was follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Jesus says, follow God with all your heart and be baptized. So the children of Israel came out of Canaan, disobeyed God, did not wipe the land clean. God said, if you leave anyone, you'll be cursed. They were cursed. They immediately fell into debauchery, ended up a couple hundred years later in civil war, demanded a king from God. God gave them a king despite them because he wanted to be their king, and he knew what would happen if they got an earthly king. We got Saul. He didn't work out very well. David, a man with a heart after God, he too fell into temptation through excess. And that's going to be the major theme here in Kings, is excess. Paul says all things are legal for the Christian, but not all things are good for the Christian. All things must be kept in moderation. You feed this body all that it wants in food and wine and pleasure, the spirit man will lose control, whom God said I placed in the heart of man, because the mind of man is contrary to the will of God, and this flesh is an abomination to me. It's up to the spirit man to gain control of the mind and guide this flesh. But you give this flesh excess, it becomes very powerful. It takes over. The spirit man goes to sleep. We're in chapter 9. We got through David's reign, which he was cursed of God because of his murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, his affair with Bathsheba, his lies and his deceit. For a moment there in time, David's heart fell asleep. The spirit man fell asleep because of the excesses in his life, the multiple wives and the pleasures. And the Bible is very vague when it comes to this. It says, and the time when the kings normally went out to war, David stayed home because things were so cozy at home. And it was just all you could eat, all you could drink, and all the women you could have. And things went bad from there. And that statement there is basically says David took his eyes off God for a moment. His duty was to go. And he says, no, I'm having too much good time here. So we are into David's son. And the curse was in David that his family, strife would come from his family. And there were two coup attempts on his kingdom. He overcame them. He lost children because of it. And we are now into, and also the sword would never leave his family line. And the Israelis fight today because of what that man done. You pay for the sins, your sins in this world. Your children pay for some of your sins in this world. It's unbelievable. You know, you're walking down this hallway and there are doors on both sides. Some open to dark things, some open to good things. Be careful which doors you open because your children follow you down that hallway.
Mm-hmm. Generational curses are a very real thing.
Absolutely. But all curses can be stopped dead in their feet by following Jesus Christ with all your heart. And I'll tell you, Christian, if you claim to follow Christ and you hold on to the law, the Bible says if you hold on to one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. And you're basically telling Christ his supreme sacrifice just wasn't good enough. You should have made it a little bit better, Messiah. We are into the reign of Solomon. He's just built his spectacular house and God's temple. His house is a little finer than God's in some ways. And he has just pronounced a great blessing and asked a blessing on the nation. And he is following God with all of his heart now, but excess has been creeping in big time, and you need to look at that because all things need to be kept in moderation. Chapter 9, the book of 1 Kings. Came to pass when Solomon had finished building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. The Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually, that thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart. And that is a covert statement there. God says, as David walked before me in integrity of heart. David didn't always walk before God in integrity, but his heart always desired. And every time when he fell into the great controversy, which he committed murder and had his affair with Bathsheba, his heart was always after God. And God, that's the only thing God is going to judge one day. Doesn't mean you have a license to sin. Paul said, God forbid, he will lay the rod to you. But if you look back at Saul, even when Saul went absolutely out of his mind and declared war on God and killed all of his prophets, occasionally the heart of Saul would take over and he would repent. The heart was always in there saying, this is not right. And in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if he shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. Look for that. That's coming through excess, even though in the last chapter, Solomon proclaimed, this is the only true God. But he starts importing all sorts of wives, hundreds of them. And you know what happens with foreign wives? They bring their customs and their gods with them. And men like to please women. And he starts setting up temples and all sorts of altars for foreign gods. He says, if you do not serve foreign gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel. If you end up serving foreign gods and worship him, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for your name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all thy people. This is a prophecy that will happen. And you see, he didn't just lay it on Solomon. He said, you and your children, the kings that will follow you in your line, must all stay true to me. Follow me with all your heart. And at this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? So when I do tear you down for what you're going to do with these foreign gods, everyone in the world will hiss at you, because how can this have happened? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord, their God, who brought them forth, their forefathers, out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. It came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold according to all the desire. And then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. You imagine, he picked out the thumbs and the,
projects. Here you go.
Yeah. We owe Hiram about 20 cities for all this lumber and craftsmanship that he sent us. Which ones are we going to give him?
All the one with the ABC stores.
Yes, yes. We're not going to give him the good ones. And he said, what cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother? And he called them the land of Cabul unto this day. And Hiram sent the king 60 talents of gold. And this is the reason of the levy which King Solomon raised for to build the house of the Lord and his own house. And Milo and the wall of Jerusalem, and Hazor and Megiddo and Gezer. For Pharaoh king of Egypt had come up and taken Gezer and burnt it with fire, and slain the Canaanites, and dwelt in the city, and given it for a present unto his daughter Solomon's wife. Taxes. Solomon is getting very excessive. He spent millions on his house and millions on God's house. And the people are being taxed heavily.
Gold's not going to polish itself.
No, it's not. I mean, he employed hundreds of thousands of workers. It all has to be paid for, and his citizens are being taxed. And when his son comes along, they say, hey, your father taxed us really hard. Could you lay off a little bit? And he says, you think he taxed you hard?
He was a nice guy.
You have no idea how I'm going to tax you, because I need more money. And Solomon built Gezer and Beth Horon and Nether, Baaleth and Tadmor in the wilderness of the land, and all the cities of the store that Solomon had, and the cities for his chariots, and the cities for his horsemen. That which Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and all the land of his dominion. What does that say, Jonathan? Oh, excess.
Just some bit.
Just going crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to build the shining city on the hill.
Yeah.
Everything that we can imagine. Subways, skyscrapers. And all the people that were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, which were not of the children of Israel. Now, if your heart is following after God, and you have these desires to build all these amazing things, God will make a way. But if your heart is falling into excess, and you still have these desires, you will make a way through overtaxing your people. America, their children that were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able to destroy, to or utterly to destroy, upon those did Solomon levy a tribute of bond service unto this day. So he's not only taxing, he's putting people into servitude. But children of Israel did Solomon make no bondmen, that they were men of war, and his servants, and his princes, and his captains, and his rulers of his chariots, and of his horsemen. These were the chief of the officers that were over Solomon's work, 550 which bare rule over the people that wrought in the work. The Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David unto her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then did he build Milo. Okay, now, he's going to end up with around 1,000 wives and concubines. Now, they don't all live in this big hotel together. Mm-hmm. They all get a fancy mansion. Mm-hmm. All three times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Lord, and he burnt incense upon the altar that was before the Lord. So he finished the house. And that little verse right there says, yes, he's going into excess, but he's still going through his religious routines. Mm-hmm. Because when you spirit man starts to go to sleep through excess, your connection and your spiritual connection with God starts to wane. But this flesh will hold on to its religious rituals, because the flesh says, I need to continue doing this so that I'll be blessed by God.
It's almost like a muscle memory.
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's exactly a good way to put it, Jonathan. The king Solomon made a navy of ships in Elazon Geber, which is beside Eloth on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon. And they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold 420 talents and brought it to Solomon. And that gold was fetched through levies and taxes. Chapter 10, and when the queen of Sheba, this is an interesting story because there's something hidden in this one that will blow your mind. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She wanted to find out for herself the wisdom and the glory of this man. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels and bare spices and very much gold, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. So they sat down, had dinner, and had long conversations about things of the world, which Solomon was known for having wisdom. Solomon told her of all the questions, that was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. So he answered her in every question that she had. When the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was in absolute awe of the glory of this man's kingdom, down to the uniforms that his servants wore, the lavish apparel, the lavish furnishings, everything. She was absolutely in awe. And this is a queen. She comes from a fancy palace herself, but it's more like a shack compared to what Solomon has. She said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told. They didn't even begin to explain your wisdom and glory. It is more than what they even explained to me. And prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. But she wants something in return. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir great plenty of amug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the amug trees, almug trees, pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also, the psalteries, for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor was seen unto this day. So his house and the Lord's house were finished, but continual building process. Let's just make it grander and better all the time. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. What does that mean right there? Gave her of his royal bounty, Jonathan.
I mean, it could definitely be interpreted plenty of ways that might be radio friendly.
He placed a child inside of her. That dinner turned out really well for him. I guess for her too, because that's after meeting this man and the wisdom and the glory, how could she not want a son fathered by this man? Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. That is roughly equivalent to $150 million, roughly. Besides that, that was a lot of money back then. That was back when a penny bought you a serving of barley. Besides that, he laid the merchantmen. He had the merchantmen and traffic of the spice merchants and all the kings of Arabia and for the governors of the country. The King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went on one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. So these weapons of war made of gold are all ornamental. You do not want to go to battle carrying a shield made of gold, because you'd need a couple guys to carry it for you. It was all ornamental for these wonderful parades where his military went down the street in this shining gold apparel. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side of the place of the seat. And 2 lions stood beside the stays, and 12 lions stood there on one side, on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom, continuing to upgrade his palace and throne room. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were silver. Oh, we can't have any silver in here.
That's scrap metal.
Oh, yes. Go pave the road with that. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. Also importing all sorts of rare and exotic animals into his... This must have been the most fantastical place the world has ever seen. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices and horses and mules, a rate year by year. And this is blessings from God, deliberately processed blessings of God. They just hear about this man's wisdom and they say, I have to see it for myself. Load up a wagon train full of gold and silver. Well, Solomon didn't care for silver, but gold and spices. Yep. I want to go have an audience with this man. And what does it cost now? Have you heard what the audience with, you know, like the speaking tours that all the politicians goes on?
Oh, yeah.
What does it cost to get an audience with King Solomon these days? Oh, it'll cost you about $1 million in gold there, sire. Load it up.
Pure gold.
Yes, too. Yes. Yep. Not the stuff we make our coins out of. No. Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities of chariots. Can you imagine just the cost of keeping the amazing amounts of chariots and cavalry and soldiers?
It had to be, I mean, you think about, like you said too, the grandiose of the city and all that, and how Sheba was saying that, like, even all of his servants are happy to serve him. Like, so everybody in the city is just like,
yeah.
A utopian society, so to speak.
Exactly. The servants, the ones that are getting that lavish life. I don't know about the citizens out there paying the taxes.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.